If the dead got up and walked around, what do you think they'd do? They'd probably destroy everything and turn the world to poo. There'd be no reason to go to work or make my bed and clean my room. So I'm not quite sure I'd fight the zombies, because what do I have to lose? I could wake up late every morning and never brush my teeth. Boy, now that I think about it, being a zombie sure would be neat. So in closing, all I want to say is I'll go willingly, because being a zombie sounds like fun. You know, aside from the killing me. Good evening, and welcome to Gore, a horror podcast to keep you up at night. I'm the Wicked Kitten, always getting into mischief, and with me, as always, are my creepy co-hosts, the lovely Travis.
Hello.
The endearing, the ethereal Faye.
Hi.
And lastly, the dread you've been feeling since you hit play on this podcast, Dreadly.
Hello.
So, this is the part when we talk about what you're doing, what you're watching, how you been, Travis.
Busy. Work has been busy. Been doing some stuff around the house, playing with the new 3D printer. I did manage to get out to the theater, however, and see The Flash. Apparently I was in the minority there, but I liked it. I had some fun nostalgic moments, and it was fine. There's nothing wrong with it at all. I am beginning to get hip deep in my summer of Fast and the Furious movies.
Hip deep.
Yep.
Is I'm that like wading a fishing through. Term?
Yes, I am wading through the sea of Fast and Furious movies.
Did you get through Tokyo Drift yet?
I am not going to say anything about where I'm at or which ones I have watched so far. You'll have to wait and check out the YouTube channel for that.
Ooh.
No fair.
I've only seen Tokyo Drift, so I imagine that's the best one, right? Don't say anything. Just
so
nod.
That's what's going on. I've also been playing, going back through and doing another playthrough of Control. And been just loving the hell out of that game again, because it's so good. And it just makes me want Alan Wake 2 more. Just give it more. Put it right in my veins.
Soon. Soon.
I know.
Faye. How you been doing? What are you watching, and how is it going? Are you hydrated?
Well, I used my weekend very well. I got a small little trial of Apple TV, and I binged all the sci-fi stuff on it.
Oh.
So I watched all of Silo that was out so far. Apparently there's still two more episodes. I watched Hello Tomorrow, which I adored. Retro-futuristic, end-of-the-world stuff. So kind of like Fallout before the bombs. And Foundation, based on Asimov. So, all of them were great. I highly recommend, go watch all of them.
I keep hearing there's so many good things on Apple TV, and it's like the one service that I don't have.
Yeah. And I'm trying not to buy it, so I use the trial to catch up on everything I wanted to see. I also watched The Devil's Candy.
Oh, I meant to watch that, and I didn't. I'm going to maybe this weekend. What did you think?
Interesting. That's what I'll leave it at.
Better or worse than The Devil's Rejects?
I've never watched that. I need to watch that.
And then we need the crossover, which is The Devil's Rejected Candy.
I thought that was Dread. Just the ice cream man.
Dred's always threatening me by saying he's going to make me watch those movies. The
Devil's Rejects is a good movie to watch once.
The House of the 1,000 Peanuts.
House of 1,000 Corpses is great.
I enjoyed that, but I didn't watch either of the other ones.
Yeah. Well, Devil's Rejects is a good movie. Different.
The third one?
Yeah. Three from Hell I have not seen yet.
Yeah, haven't seen that. I haven't seen it. I just said I didn't see any of them, but I felt the need to specify.
But specifically that one.
Specifically. Well, you know, like, honestly, because, you know, I don't know how I feel about Rob Zombie. Let's just move on. Go ahead. Finish up, Faye.
And just started drooling with the announcement that Star Ocean 2 remake is going to be put out shortly.
Woo! So, I don't know what that is.
Oh, second story.
You're happy.
I like the graphic style that you went for.
It looks like a great remaster and remake of it, so I can't wait to get my hands on and play it again.
I'll admit to being more excited about Super Mario RPG than Star Ocean, but both look mm-hmm. like they're going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. So. That looks gorgeous. And Wonder. Oh, isn't that the new one? The new Mario Brothers game is Wonder? Or
I don't something like that, yeah.
Yeah, a lot. There's been, like, we've been lousy with really good video game announcements lately, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, and Final Fantasy 16 just came out.
Woo. So I heard.
Another one I need to get my hands on.
So before Dredd starts to growl through the internet towards us, Dreddly, how have you, how are you and their things? And how, dude, where have you been? What are you doing? Where have you been? Where have you been?
I've been right here, doing well.
Where have you been? What are you doing? What's your alibi?
I don't know what this Final Fantasy is that Faye's talking about. Never heard of that game series at all. Anyway, I've been playing Final Fantasy VII and finished it. And
finished it? How'd you like the ending?
Well, no, not the remake. I finished VII.
Oh.
The original, and then jumped straight into the remake. Because why not? I'm going well in the remake. I'm like... let's just say something fell today. Something fell.
In love?
I know exactly what.
Yeah.
I don't know, after what you showed me from the other day.
Oh yeah, yesterday was a very horny day. And then today was a very emotional day.
Yeah.
What a game. But anyway, yeah.
Is crazy. Like... I mean, it looks fun as hell. It's just, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah. So in short, 7 was a decent game. Not the best Final Fantasy. Not even in my top 5 Final Fantasies.
Aww.
But the remake, I am enjoying greatly. Way more than I expected. Mm-hmm. And of course, I would love to play 16 right now, but... fuck you and your PlayStation exclusives. That's what I say. I shall play it in a year on PC.
Or two.
Nah, the other one took a year. Of course, then they did the Epic Game Store exclusive shit as well.
That's why I said two.
I would probably get it on there. Let's be honest. Anyway, that's what I've been playing. And just a future sneak peek. Once I finish Final Fantasy VII Remake, I shall be playing Baldur's Gate. Woo. And then I shall be playing Baldur's Gate 2. And then I hope to finish that before Baldur's Gate 3 comes out, which is going to take an effort on my end. I know.
Effort? What's that?
Like, I have... Let's say I finish it. That means I have, like, if I finish it in a week, means I have 2 months to play Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, okay? I can do it.
You got
to believe in
you. Yeah. Learn the speedrunner's tactics.
Well, I have played Baldur's Gate 2 many, many times, so I feel like I know what to do in that game, so should be doable.
I've never finished Throne of Baldo, so that might be an issue. We'll see. Yeah, that's about it. I haven't watched much things. A little bit of Creepshow, a couple of episodes. And somehow watched the entire season of True Blood, a.k.a. Tabasco.
I didn't force him, if that's what you're thinking. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I suggested.
She did. Oh, right. She didn't force him. Okay.
She did.
But I'm showing him how the show is awesome. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's just say that I've now known that vampires are very horny. Mm-hmm. And they just fuck a lot. And they like Tabasco. That is all.
I feel like that's more like the southern people. But look, there's different kinds of vampires. There's sparkly vampires, which are bleh. You know, there's crazy, sick vampires. And then there's horny vampires. Horny vampires are like in the middle, you know?
Where would you put Anne Rice? And her vampires?
That's like fancy vampires.
They're horny vampires. They're just Victorian horny vampires, which is a weird, like, that shouldn't make sense, but you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I guess.
Especially if you've read the books.
I like that we watched the werewolf movie and they were horny, and then the vampire, and I'm starting to realize something about, everyone's horny.
Oh, it's all about sex.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
So I have been also watching True Blood, which is my rewatch because I like the show, whatever you want to think of me now. I also checked out the movie Brooklyn 45, which is a new-ish Shudder movie. I'm not sure if I talked about it last time. I'm starting to feel like I did. And
no, it just recently came out.
Okay, so I was thinking it came out.
It's the next one on my list.
Is it in the same universe as Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Or?
I was thinking it might be, but it's not. It takes place on a night in 1945 in Brooklyn, like just after the war and whatnot. And it's some friends get together to do a seance, basically. And
those always go so well.
I feel like I've said this before, though. I'm seriously having deja vu. But anyway, maybe I was talking to somebody else. But I thought it was very well done. That's all I'm gonna say. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. The end.
It was a movie.
Yeah, it was a movie. I also watched a slightly older movie called Velvet Buzzsaw, which is a very trippy fucking movie. I can't explain it to you. It's got the Gyllenhaal kid in it. What's his name? Jake.
The Jacob?
The Jake. Yeah. So, you know, like Jake Gyllenhaal. And it's one of those, like, it's very, like, surreal feeling and, you know. I recommend it. I liked it. It was very different.
Velvet Buzzsaw.
Yeah. Very trippy.
No relation to Lollipop Chainsaw, right?
I don't know what that is.
It's a totally different thing? No. Okay.
I don't think so. It was my first time and somebody was like, this is really good. You got to watch it. And I was like, okay. If you say so. So. I feel like you guys would like it. Maybe I'll bring it up again at some other movie night when I'm like, oh, what should we watch?
The writer's done some stuff that I liked. Yeah. Writer-director.
It's a good story. It feels, you know, because it's got that trippy feeling to it. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's just, you know, I don't want to go into detail. You know how it is.
But it's a very...
I don't want to spoil anything.
I'm looking at his writing credits, and it's Velvet Buzzsaw, okay, Nightcrawler, another Jake Gyllenhaal movie, The Bourne Legacy, Real Steel, and then we can go all the way back to Free Jack. He wrote the screenplay for Free Jack.
I'll take it. Well, I'll watch it. I love Free Jack and Real Steel.
And Chasers.
And a Bourne, whatever it was.
Bourne Legacy?
Is that the one with Hawkeye?
That's the one with Renner, yeah. Mm-hmm. He also wrote the screenplay for Kong Skull Island. And some episodes of Andor. All right, well, I mean, he's...
I recommend it.
I'm intrigued. I like Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, maybe I'll just pick it up for like one of our secret movie nights that nobody knows about. Oops. Yeah. I also watched, which I felt like I had seen both of these movies at some point in my life, but apparently maybe I didn't. But I watched Alligator and Alligator 2. Let me tell you, Alligator is a very... It seems like a TV movie, but it's so well done, and it's got the main actor is, I forget his name now, but he is so freaking cute. I love that guy. And he's shirtless quite a few times in the movie, so if that gets you, get to it. But I thought it was great. And then I watched the second one, and I did not agree about the second movie. It's a complete departure. But wow, like Alligator's like up there now in like one of my favorite like 1980, you know, creature feature movies. It's in there. It's probably like in my top 10 now. I've decided. So if you haven't seen Alligator in the last 50 years, check it out.
trying to figure out who it is that had their shirt off in the movie a lot that you thought was cute.
The main guy, the
Robert Forster.
Yes. Oh my God. He is a handsome man, especially in 1980.
It is 1980, Robert Forster, and because I'm me, when I see his name, I immediately picture him from like Jackie Brown forward, He's you know middle aged to old man. Yeah.
Which we say that, but that's like 15 years away from now for us, right?
Well, no, but yeah, I mean, but I have to put it in context of 1980, so he would have only been in his late 30s at that point.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, you know, the older you get, you start liking, you know, different stuff.
No, I get it, totally get it.
But he was very shirtless, and he's got like the attitude. He's got it feels a lot like machismo and misogyny, but at the same time, there's just something adorable about it. Like, you know, it was a different time back then.
Well, it's the Tom Selleck factor, right? Like,
oh, Tom Selleck.
Do you need a moment there?
Do you need a towel?
No. And then the last movie that I saw, this is gonna make no sense because it's not even a horror movie, but. I watched this movie from 1980 called The Exterminator. Bumby, I felt you hear this and go, hey, I know that movie. Looking at the poster, I was like, did this come out after Terminator? No, it came out 4 years before it, and it has nothing to do with what Terminator is. It's just one of these cheesy action movies from that time. And it's real bad, but fun as hell. So, yeah. I don't know why I watched it, but I did. So there you go.
I'm not sure why you watched it either, but just reading the blurb on IMDb, it sounds like somebody read some Punisher comics and thought, I'd make a good movie.
There's some sick shit in that movie, too. But it's got the dude from American Ninja 2, or maybe he was in 1, but I've only seen American Ninja 2 because of Bumby. But the... What's his name? James something or other. But anyway.
Steve James?
Steve James. That's it.
Okay.
And he's cool, but he's barely in the movie. I was excited, and then he was barely in the movie. I'm like, oh, shit. Because, yeah. If you go and watch this movie, I'm just telling you, there's a line in this movie that is so bad. It's really bad. It's, what do you call it? Not appropriate. It's politically incorrect, But it's also really just so stupid. Like, why would they say that ever? I'm not going to repeat the line because I don't, I'm not going to say that, but.
Okay. I feel like you have to.
Don't pay for, no, I mean, I can't say it. I'm not allowed to.
You can tell us off recording. That way I don't have to watch the movie to hear it.
I'm never saying the word. That's all I'm saying. You're going to have to fill in the blanks. But anyway, go watch the movie. As long as you don't have to pay for it. You have to pay for it, maybe.
Move well, on. Then say the line without the word. And we can fill it in our head.
I'm not saying it on the show. Like, what? There's at least four words I would never say on while I'm being recorded. Four words.
There are four words.
I think four
Somebody words. Somebody at the NSA right now is like, damn it. We're never going to know those words.
Well, that was real exciting to talk about, but I feel like it's time to peek around that corner and give you some of the highlights of horror news.
One that I'm kind of interested in is Stranger Things Season 5 will be filming sometime in the near future. And Linda Hamilton is joining the cast.
Yay!
I am excited about that. I'm excited in general for Stranger Things Season 5 because I need it. And yeah. I love Linda Hamilton. So that's good news.
Great.
It's the final season too, I think, if I remember right.
Yes, the Duffer Brothers have said that this is it for the show. So they're gonna wrap everything up, so they say. But
for this iteration.
Yeah, whatever that means, but for this particular story. Okay. What I'm curious about is what part is she going to play? So this should be interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just had a horrible thought in my head.
Are you thinking the same as me that Terminator is going to show up and kill everyone?
No. Eleven's mom.
Oh.
We've already met Eleven's mom, though.
We have? Am I forgetting something?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the first season.
They do show a person who is supposed to be her mother.
Ah, they can retcon it.
I'd have to rewatch it.
It's like a flashback or whatever. They're like ripping her away from her. I'm not saying they can't
I can also make you feel older and say that she might be the grandma.
That's true. She is older. There you go. She could be the grandmother. Love you, Linda Hamilton.
Yeah.
I would be. Yeah. We just saw her in Resident Alien.
Yes, I might have completely mixed those two up because I was like, wait, isn't she in Stranger Things already? But I was thinking of Resident Alien.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Another thing coming up is they just released a trailer for The Primevals from Full Moon Entertainment. That is a really weird trailer. They're using a lot of the old stop action techniques for this from like Ray Harryhausen.
Yeah, Harryhausen would be proud.
Yes.
I like it though.
It's kind of got a feel of Journey to the Center of the Earth type feel.
There's some Journey to the Center of the Earth. I got some King Kong feel from it too.
There was like a
1930s
gorilla.
King Kong. I wonder if it's actually stop motion or because stop motion is not cheap to do. Mm. It's very time consuming. And I'm wondering if it's some form of just CG animation that they're making
it's
look
stop
like
action.
Stop motion.
It is. It's actual stop motion. In the blurb that Charles Band put out on TikTok before revealing the trailer, he talks about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool that they're doing that because it has that look and feel to it. I enjoy it. Like, it looked like a Full Moon Entertainment movie, especially the last 30 seconds of the trailer where it was like, oh, okay, we've gone here. All right. But
yeah, the last 30 seconds goes off the walls.
It looks like it's going to be like a fun watch with some friends, type movie.
Which are the best.
And the last story that I'm going to talk to you about is all about sharksploitation? I almost didn't say that word properly. A made-up word. Aren't all words made up, though? Coming very soon, we're getting a Shudder original shark horror documentary. Yes, I did say shark horror documentary. I can't talk anymore.
Shark horror.
Actually, I feel like maybe our resident shark expert should have brought up this. Brought up?
Perhaps.
I know.
Why didn't you?
Because you beat me to it.
She beat you?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just waiting for tomorrow when Last Driving is back, and we're going to watch some sharks.
Aquatic.
Well, it's an aquatic, so one's probably going to be a shark. I'm expecting the other one to be piranha, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll find out tomorrow.
I mean, because there's still like horror movies that are aquatic and not necessarily shark fishy related. But
his gift that was with it was a shark. So there.
But will it be Piranha Believe. Or Piranha 2?
Or Piranha 3D?
Huh. Yeah.
Oh, Piranha 3 Double D?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Not quite.
I think that was the actual title or something.
That was the title of the movie.
Yeah.
It could also be the host.
Oh, God, no. No!
That'd be awesome.
I hope that's the same fucking movie.
I would rewatch The Mutilator.
Ouch!
I don't know why you said that like it was a threat. I rewatched The Mutilator for fun.
I'd rather watch The Host.
No,
well, you like The Host. That's different.
It's because The Host is good, damn it.
Hey, just that because a movie is good doesn't mean I like it. Huh. That's the smartest thing I've ever said.
Guess you can't say account for taste.
Oh. That's like my heart, man. Do you want to add anything to the shark exploitation stuff, Dreadly?
No.
I feel like a particular patron might be upset if you don't add something to it. Maybe I should have just... You want to re-record that part with you introducing the story instead? Do you think that would be better? Because I didn't think about
it. No, this is more fun.
Okay. It's more fun that Monica took it away from you, and now Rev is going to kill me.
Exactly.
He will throw a tiny Irish woman at me. Okay.
Please do.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And now for tonight's feature presentation.
This synopsis is brought to you by the zombies. They want you to know you could become a Gore patron by heading to patreon.com/gore13. And while you're distracted doing that, they want your brains!
So, what are the plans for tonight?
Same thing we do every night, Pinky.
I want a party!
Yeah, I'm tired of sitting in a car every night pretending to go somewhere.
I told you, man, gas ain't cheap.
Neither is partying, though.
True. Hey, how about the abandoned cemetery? There's no entry fees there.
Except your soul.
What soul? Let's break in there and have some fun.
Who knows? We might even scare you up a date.
Well, it is the liveliest place in town, anyway.
Someone dug up all the graves.
Well. Maybe it's like an open house, but for graves. You know, try it before you bite it.
Brains?
I agree. Use your brains. Wait, who said that?
The Return of the Living Dead is a 1985 comedy horror film written and directed by Dan O'Bannon in his directorial debut and starring Clu Gulager, James Caron, Tom Matthews, Don Calfa, and Linnea Quigley, who we love. It's the story of what happens when people stop being smart and start opening canisters of dead bodies, and then reanimate the dead, and then chop them up and burn them, and then it rains, and all hell breaks loose. But how do you feel about this movie, Travis?
I mean, come on, who doesn't love this movie? This movie is just silly, it's funny, it's dumber than a bag of hammers. It's got Miguel A. Nunez Jr. in it. Like, there's nothing not to like about it. It's the reason that we associate zombies with brains is from this movie. Like, this is what did it. And it was, you know,
it put brains on the map.
That's right. It's loosely based on the novel Return of the Living Dead. And by loosely based, I mean, it's the same title. And that's it. Because the story behind that is that John A. Russo co-wrote Night of the Living Dead with and then they couldn't agree on how to do the sequel. So they agreed that they would each do their own sequel. And Romero was like, fine, you can have Living Dead. I will just do Dead. And Russo couldn't get anybody to buy his script. So he just wrote it into a novel. And then when they got Dan O'Bannon involved, he's like, I ain't making that movie, but I'll rewrite it all. So
we and got it was this. A perfect marriage. Oh.
And it's just, it's like, it's punk rock mid 80s. It looks so much better than it should for a $4 million budget too. Like, it really does, because they kept everything very, like, everything's contained within just a couple of locations. So they could really put money into the puppetry and the effects in it. And God, just, it's just a fun time. It's just a silly, fun time. I love it.
Yeah. Faye, how do you feel about this movie?
Oh, I love it.
I especially love
Tarman. Our nice little skeleton guy that pops up out of the canister after they let him free.
He's great. Like, yeah.
He's just so happy to see live brains.
Yeah, exactly.
So I hadn't watched this in a long time. I remember Tarman being more of the movie.
Nope.
Like, but it's not at all. Nope. Like, it's the most memorable thing from the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second, he's barely freaking on screen.
That's the thing. I think that's the thing that does it. It's like, it's what you remember, and so, like, that stays with you so much longer.
Yeah, yeah. Now, for other people, it's the half dogs and the moving arms before they put them into the crematorium, and
the half dog just makes me sad. I'm sorry.
He was beating it with a crutch.
Yeah, that made it worse. Like, it was already in bad shape, but you just beat it and it was barking, and I'm like, no, I can't.
Yeah, but no, I really like this. And Tarman and, you know, our favorite little starlet stripping are the best, two best scenes.
Oh my God. Some of the best, and the lines. Oh my God.
I did like Dan O'Bannon talking about how he assumed that the only people going to see this movie would be horny boys. So he had Linnea Quigley get naked in it. And then his response after he found out that that it wasn't just horny guys that went to see it, he's like, well, if I'd have known that, I'd have made Tom Matthews get naked too.
Yes, I read that and I liked it. Because I was like, please, more people realize that, number one, like, obviously women can like women as well. But I like equal opportunity nudity. Like, mm-hmm. I have no problem with people being nude in a movie or being naked. I don't even care if it has nothing to really do with the story. Like, that's fine with me. But if you're not going to make the men get naked, there's something wrong about that. Like,
listen, I need you to
get naked.
I went to the theater and I saw a movie where MC Gainey gets naked and runs down the street. If that won't put you off seeing somebody naked, nothing will. Because he is not what I would call an attractive man.
Not what you would call an attractive man. But like,
okay, question. I am about the same build as MC Gainey. Do you want to see me running naked down the street in a movie? Probably not.
But I think more to the point is I want to see men as naked equally as women.
Oh, no, that's kind of where I'm going with it. It's like, it didn't bother me at all to see that. It didn't take away from the movie. Yeah. And I'm with you. I don't care. Equal opportunity. Go, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Plus, every human is beautiful in their own way, right?
If anyone wants to see Travis run naked across the street, please head to patreon.com/gore.
It'll be
he's
going
to need a lot of alcohol and a very large tip.
Giggity.
Giggity.
Just the tip.
I told you.
Before we forget, Dreadly, how do you feel about this movie?
Oh, I'm also here. I hate this movie.
Liar.
I'm kidding. This is a very, as I said, a very fun movie. 80s as fuck. And great. Just great. Also, one of the two things that make me think about brains when it comes to zombies is this and The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I had not seen this movie for a long time because I kind of refused to watch it, knowing the whole Night of the Living Dead, you know, sequel-ish things that Travis mentioned. Like, one got the titles to the Living Dead series, and then you had Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, blah, blah, the actual sequels. So I kind of stayed with those and said, like, meh, don't need to watch the other ones. But then I did, and I loved them. So, shut up.
Yeah. Well, see what you did.
I know.
They, Russo and Romero were like, all right, we're not going to get this done working together. So go ahead, take Living Dead, go do your thing. I'll do my thing. We're fine. In fact, I did read where somebody, I don't know who it was, tried to sue over this movie being called The Return of the Living Dead. And it ended up that because he had like literally a handwritten note from George Romero saying it's fine, that they, you know, had to drop the case or whatever. So it was
Plus, like, Romero got to keep the dead and everything of his is the dead. So he's, you know, they were just together and he was the living guy, you know, and then Romero was the dead guy. Shut up.
Trivia says that they even tried to get Romero, like, to try to contact him to be a producer for this. Like, they reached out and he just, you know, he didn't really return any calls. Like, no, that's your thing. You do yours. I'll do mine.
He didn't return.
Good one. So I was just going to say, like, you said you hadn't watched it for a long time. So, like, when did you watch this for the first time?
I don't remember, but it's not been that long.
Older? Okay. I was going to say, because, like, we just watched it last year. I've been waiting a year to do this movie. Because we watched
it. I probably had seen it once before that.
It is a tradition to watch this movie on July 3rd. Which is, you know, the day before 4th of July. You know how that works. And in the States, let's say. Just because the movie starts
the
out
same everywhere. The July 3rd is before July 4th everywhere. Not just the States.
Get it.
I mean, he is technically correct.
Is he? Is he? You're just going to take his side? Fucking man.
Just the best type of correct.
I will say that, like, I remember seeing I don't remember when I first saw it, but it had been long enough. I don't think of Don Calfa from this movie at all, which is a thing for me. Like, I think of him from a small role he played in the movie Running Scared. That's what I remember Don Calfa from.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff and I don't think of him in this movie either, actually.
There was something else we watched together that he was in. It was one of the
something. I can't remember.
It was, it was like a Lovecraftian thing, I think, or something like
Necronomicon?
That.
Necronomicon?
No, might have been. But I remember because I saw him and I'm like, it's the lawyer from Running Scared. Like, that's what I think of him from, even though he's much more prominent in this movie.
So I love this movie. I'll just move to me. I really love this movie. When I was a kid, Tar Man used to scare the absolute crap out of me. It was just like the scariest scene. I tell you, it still makes me nervous when I'm watching it. It's just such a fun movie, and I absolutely adore it. It's probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite, zombie movie. It's in the top three at least. Let's do that. I don't want to split hairs here or nothing, but like, it's just so fun, and it's 80s as fuck, which you know is my whole life. And like you said, punk rock. It's just it's a beautiful movie. It's just, it touches me when I talk about it like this.
O'Bannon knew what he was making and leaned into it. Yeah. And that's what makes it work. It's the silly premise, these indestructible zombies that you basically can't kill unless you burn them. And then all that does is spread their ashes around to make it even worse.
Just made it worse.
But it knows, like, the movie didn't try to do anything other than be exactly what it is, which is a silly 80s punk rock zombie movie. And I love it for that, because there's an earnestness to the way they made it. While you can still tell, like, there was a lot of effort put into it. And that's where kind of how I mentioned, like, it looks so much better than a $4 million movie should. And yeah, it's funny because you hear all the stories from behind the scenes, and like, it apparently wasn't an easy movie to make, even though they only took 6 weeks to shoot it. I love the story that they, Clue has that lead pipe, but O'Bannon made the prop department give him a rubber one because he was afraid he'd hit him with the lead pipe. Because they argued a lot on set. So like, make sure that's rubber, because I don't want to get hit by the lead one.
You know what it's time for?
The 13!
The 13 is a specially cultivated list of tropes or our favorite things from horror movies. This list may change or be adjusted as time goes on and in real time, because this is real life. And once again, they just wanted to nom. Number one, kitty cat.
No.
Mm.
Just half dogs.
No. Half dog.
Minus 5 points for that shit. That was just depressing as shit. Fuck.
Yeah, the half dogs are bad enough. Then he starts beating the half dog with a crutch, and I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, should have used a half crutch.
That feels weird, but I'll allow it.
You win, Dreadly. Wow, that was great. Number two, Volkswagen. No.
No, just had that wonderfully graffitied land yacht.
Well, that's how you know it's your car, I guess. You put your name on it. And,
No one's going to confuse that. Also, I like that this time, like, every time you watch a movie, sometimes you just notice something new. And this was the time I noticed how Trash gets out of the car. And she goes over the window and down
over the windshield and scoots down the windshield and the front hood, because that hood is like 18 feet long. So it takes forever.
It's like 3 years later.
I noticed that this time, too.
I hope that wasn't hot in her butt. Number three, scary location, time of the year. Abandoned cemetery.
Yep.
Abandoned cemetery that's not patrolled at all. So. Mm-hmm. They can just go in and
patrol it. What are the dead going to come alive, Travis, huh? It was a joke.
Well, I mean, grave robbing is a thing. And
well, apparently not, because they were still all there. If they had robbed more graves, we wouldn't have all these problems.
Yeah. So really?
I just found it, I found it interesting on this watch thinking about, like, yeah, they just break in there and start making all sorts of noise. Like, they were there, and they were there for a few hours. You would think that the police would have shown up at some point.
Well, prior to eventually.
Well, but prior to zombie rain.
I guess they were far away. I don't know. And it's 4th of July weekend as well. Number 4. Meta-horror, fourth wall breaks, mentioning the title. Well, this movie is meta-horror.
Yeah.
Let me count literally the ways.
I mean, the first scene in the movie is they mention Night of the Living Dead as being a movie that you watch in that in this universe that's based on real events. I love that.
It's great.
I love starting off that way.
And that's like complete paranoia. I love it. It's a government-made zombies also is kind of great.
Wouldn't put it past them.
Probably, yeah. I like that the zombies are, you know, they can talk. They know what's going on. They realize what's up with their condition and stuff.
They're actually intelligent.
They know.
It's such a different kind of zombie from what you think of when you think of a zombie movie. You think of the mindless, because that's part of what makes it horrific is the loss of self, right? And the whole, like, you have no control over it anymore. You're just your base animal instincts. And I kind of like this is different. And I like that, you know, they're getting on the radio telling them to send more paramedics, send more cops.
Best line in the movie.
Well, cracks me up every single time.
Send more cops. Like, they know how to get what they want. I love it. And
they explained why they were eating the brains.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes. I'll get to that a little bit later too. Like, that belongs in a special column for me. But this is black comedy horror, and I don't know, there's just something about black comedy that I've always liked. It's a funny movie, and it's kind of like, it's not as over the top as like a spoof movie would be, like a zombie spoof movie, which there's nothing wrong with that, Dreadly. I'm just saying, like, I like the way this is, where it could just be a zombie movie, but it's also, I mean, it could just be a horror movie, but it's also a comedy, right?
This is the 80s version of Shaun of the Dead.
The 80s version, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Shaun of the Dead is in line with this type of movie where it's very much a comedy, but it's also very much a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy to do that and do it well. But this movie manages to pull that off, and that's what makes it memorable.
Yeah.
That and Tar Man.
Agreed.
Yep. And
brains.
Number 5. Archetype characters. Zombies that eat brains.
Yeah. Well, it just created that. I mean,
and it did create it. Like, we got that. I like when we finally get one that actually created it. It's nice to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you got your brain eating zombies.
Your punks. Let's see.
Yep, punks. The random, like, straight edge good girl that hangs out with the punks.
What the fuck was that? That was like, that always drives me fucking crazy. I'm like, what is this girl doing?
The one that was going to work. The one that just got a job.
Yeah, that's definitely what's going on there.
Yeah. I don't want to be the asshole that points this out, but where the fuck were they going to fit Freddy in that car? Like, it was already too full.
There was no more room in that car.
He's just going to lay across people at this point?
Yep. That's exactly what would have happened.
It is.
Yeah. And, you know, we've got, like, even within, they're all, like, punk kids, but they're all, like, you know, some sort of archetype. There's the wild and crazy girl that's going to get up on the grave and dance naked.
Oh.
And there's the sensitive but hurting, you know, jacket guy. Like, he's just like, this isn't, oh my God. He's just great. What was that one line he says where he's just like,
this isn't a costume, it's a way of life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh my God, dude, come on.
Meanwhile,
like,
he's got,
he like, is like the on you.
Huge, the chain that he had going from his earring to his nose ring or lip. Was it nose or lip?
I think it was lip.
That was like, that thing had to have been made out of plastic for the movie because that would be so heavy on the side of your head. The size of chain that he had going on there.
And it's then
he
not had a costume, X. Travis.
He had the X shaved into his head.
Yeah. He's great. Did you read that trivia where for the edited version, the back of his jacket, instead of saying, like, you know, fuck you, it says
oh, yeah. television version. The back of Freddy's jacket. Yeah.
How have I never fucking noticed that whenever I watch it on TV? I have no fucking clue, but that's great. Ugh. I kind of want to watch the edited version now just to see that. I guess I could just look it up online. What am I doing? It's a different time. Number 6. Pointless boobies, weird wangs, moonies, Fanny.
Linnea Quigley.
Yeah. Full frontal. Everything.
Yep. No. She was wearing incomparable. She was wearing an appliance. She's technically not completely naked. Which...
Yeah.
So, that story to me is fascinating because she got completely naked, but one of the producers showed up and it's like, no. And so they made her go. Yeah, like, you can't show pubic hair. So they made her go and shave, and she came back and he's like, that's worse.
Yeah, no shit. Who didn't realize that would be worse?
And so then they had to make like a little like G-string thing for her to wear.
Yes, which was very uncomfortable, she said, because it was like taped into place instead of it being like a, so she couldn't pee or like she had to take it off every time. That was like the only hard part.
And she's effectively naked for most of the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For her scenes. Yeah.
For anything she's in from like the moment she strips until the end of the movie, she doesn't wear clothes again. She puts a shirt on like a robe for a little while.
But you can still see her butt.
Yeah.
And side boob.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying that much attention, I guess.
Well, then when she became a zombie, she was just full on naked running around. Yep.
Then we got zomboobies.
We got lots of zomboobies.
That's true. We did get the zombie boobies. Or the zomboobies of the torso.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
That was a really well-made thing. I know we're not in that section yet, but let's just say that was really well done.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
But I give this like 100% for nudity.
What? Well, we only missed the wangs.
Yeah. No. I meant like a score.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
This was perfect. Yeah. No wangs though. Damn you, Tom Matthews.
And they had the option when the corpse from the freezer goes after them. He's running naked.
Yeah. Oh,
he's wearing a thing.
And they don't show Ween Ween.
Nope.
Disappointing.
Now, if they remade the movie today, he'd have Man Wiener flopping around.
You think so? I hope so.
Probably a shadow of it.
A shadow of a ween.
Shadow puppet.
Wiener. Can that be the name of a movie? The Shadow of a Ween.
I'm sure it is.
The Shadow of a Ween.
Now I want to watch Beyond Reanimator again.
Number 7. Telling, retelling the legend and or establishing the movie's rules?
You mean the movie lied?
Yes. So good. Exactly, Faye. Perfect.
That whole first scene.
That's great.
Speaking of the man running around naked.
The movie lied. But making that part of the world very tongue-in-cheek. You know. And yeah, it's really also something I can believe. I could totally believe that they try to like cover it up and people are making movies about it and really there's aliens, but like, you know, we
plausible
we
deniability.
Exactly. Well, plausible deniability.
And the best part about it is that they get accidentally delivered to this warehouse and that's it. Like, the army just doesn't know where it is anymore. Yeah. We have the one scene where the colonel comes home, gets on his microwave radio for a second to say, I'm home and I'll be here all night. And then we just ignore the army for the rest of the movie until the very end. But I just love the idea that, like, they just gave up. They just stopped looking. Because it's pretty, they could have found it very easily, is what I'm saying. This all could have been prevented.
Well, apparently.
But that's the best part about it.
Yeah.
Well, apparently there was a fumble with the shipping, and it didn't go where the plants said it would go. And
yeah.
How do you figure out where it went? It's
been years sitting there.
Yeah.
And then just that, like, bump breaks the seal.
Well, it was all corroded. They sat there and corroded for 15 years, and then freaking Frank.
All they had to do was call the number on the thing how many years ago and just fucking tell them, come pick it the fuck up.
Yeah.
So really, this is Frank's fault. Or
It's Bert's fault. Bert's I blame fault.
Bert.
Hey, Bert.
Number 8. Dance sequence, montage sequence, flashbacks.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Best dance sequence of all time.
In the cemetery.
Yes. Best dance sequence.
Yeah, that's right up there with Ed Harris and Creepshow.
I mean, that's different. That's different. That's more like Crispin Glover in Friday the 13th Part 4. Those two are equal, I feel.
Yes.
This is much, much better.
This is a very different dance sequence.
Number 9, scary score, spooky soundtrack. I love this music. I love the soundtracky music, and I like the, you know.
Both the soundtrack, like the score and the songs, both are very 80s, but in different ways, and I like that. I love the opening music to the movie. Yeah. The rock songs, the punk songs that play are great. And it fits. Everything that they were doing, it fits perfectly.
There's something so, like, suspenseful listening to that music, too. For it to be a comedy, and I put quotes around that, you know, it there are some really chilling parts.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's like I, you know, making the comparison to Shaun of the Dead, same type of thing. It's that balance of horror and comedy where it's still a horror movie while being a comedy, as opposed to being a comedy movie that has some horror elements to it. And that's what, in my opinion, makes it work better than others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I put this on the same level as, what is it? Tucker and Dale?
Oh.
Yeah, I could see that.
I like
it's in that same. It's in that same stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10. That scared the shit out of me. Jump scares, one last scare, and other creepy shit. I'm going to start out by saying when the severed torso lady says that eating brains makes the pain go away and that they're in constant pain, that fucking is horrifying. And, like, it, you know, it always gave me, like, the, because there's just something about that they're constantly in pain, and the only thing that makes it better is to eat your brains.
Living brains.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm hoping our brains are living.
No comment.
But yeah. Also, it makes me feel bad for the zombies in general, because they're not mindless. They know what's going on, and they're really in pain, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so bad.
All the stuff with Freddy when they're in the chapel, and, like, he's just screaming in pain the whole time. Like, it's rough.
Rigor mortis sitting in. And
yeah, yeah. All of that. It's cheese, but it's also a really good performance of just making you feel like this guy is going through pain, just immeasurable amounts of pain. It's good. There's not a lot of jump scares in the movie either, which I kind of appreciate.
No, because they kind of shined a light on all of it that would be a jump scare. Yeah.
It is interesting in that way, isn't it? The movie is not dark from a lighting perspective. It's everything is well lit. You see everything. They even definitely went with the more. Yeah, they definitely went with the more is more approach.
Or the scene of don't do that. They'll see you.
Yep.
And the so the other thing was the tar man scene. used to scare the absolute shit out of me.
And well, the whole creepy like, looking, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Because there's eyeballs in the skull. There's eyeballs in the goddamn skull. That is
yes.
unsettling.
but also, like, there's something special about him in general, but, like, the whole her running and hiding and feeling like she's cornered and stuff, like, that whole scene was obviously not as terrifying now as I'm an older person now. But that one always got me. And even now I'm tense watching it. Like I know what's going to happen, but I'm still tense because that's how I feel.
And there is kind of one small jump scare, the stairs when she steps on that third step.
Oh, that was a jump scare for her too, as well, by the way.
Right. Yeah. That's more of a jump scare for her than for us.
That was fucked up, though. They didn't tell her that that was a false stair. She went off to a break, she came back, and when they did the scene, she really fell through that for real and banged herself up. Can you believe that? It, like, we were talking about last episode in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, how, like, they didn't care about some things, you know, and they just cut the actress in that movie. And this one, it's like, they just...
That's that low budget kind of non-union filmmaking where you just, and especially 70s and 80s, you could get away with that a lot more. It wouldn't fly today at all. No. And like if Dan O'Bannon were alive today and he were trying to make this movie and he pulled a stunt like that, he would just get raked over the coals and sued and never work again type stuff. Like it would be bad. And it shouldn't have happened back then. But it did create, you know, it got the look that he wanted. And sometimes directors did that. Kubrick would do stuff like that. He'd mess with people. Their artists are weird. And sometimes they push boundaries. And especially when there's little to no money. So you don't have that studio influence. So there's not all the safety people there. And I mean, I'm glad that she wasn't seriously injured. And it makes for a very good looking shot because her reaction to it is genuine. But at the same time, that's awful to do to somebody.
Yeah. Like I did look
like there was padding down below for her to land on, but yeah.
There was.
Even
for
with
sure.
that.
Yeah. She's still like, yeah. I mean, she was okay, but like she was just bruised up. But yeah. I cannot explain to you how mad I would have been. And I'm almost like with the other thing where he was always fighting with the other guy. I'm like, I wonder what he did to him. Like, maybe they got to blows for something else, too. Blows. Number 11. Someone does stupid shit. Or, name your favorite trope.
Main one? Partying in an empty cemetery?
What?
I mean, they would have gotten away with it without the rest of the movie.
I mean... I would go and have fun with a bunch of friends doing that, but is it actually smart? No.
Well, not in a horror movie, no. Of course not.
Yes.
They should know that by now.
Here's my note over here. It says, don't talk about your fantasies of being eaten alive, especially in a zombie movie.
Right.
Yeah. Like, who does that?
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. It's just like, well, you're going to get your wish true.
True.
Yes. I mean, I love just the character of Frank in general because he's completely useless. Once everything goes down, when they wake back up and him and Freddy are like going around in the warehouse and they're hearing everything, Frank is just a whining, shrieking pile of goo. And it just cracks me up. He's completely useless. And I loved every second of it. Because, like, normally, and especially older movies would do that with women characters. And yeah, I always hated that. Where they're, you know, they're reduced to, and they kind of do it here with, what's her name, Tina, I think, whoever the little goody two-shoes girl, where just kind of screaming and crying the whole time. But that was Frank. That was Frank the whole rest of the movie, was just.
But that's the thing, see, like right there, it's they take the man who's supposed to be like the boss guy, and they make him cry, and that's supposed to be funny. So it's like the reverse cowboy. No, but I thought that was, I appreciate that as well.
Well, yeah, and like putting him in the situation where you're going to have to do this. I can't do it. And he's just crying and sweating. Like his shirt's just getting more and more soaked with sweat. And then he pulls out the can of Lysol and gets rid of the smell.
Yep.
One can of Lysol is all it takes.
Mm-hmm. They should have made commercials with that.
Actually, Lysol was fine with that happening in the movie because it was kind of good publicity for him.
Oh, free.
We can get away zombie smell.
Well, favorite tropes, probably the stairs. Of course, there has to be a stair that's broken that you have to pay attention to, and no one ever fixes it, because why would you?
Yeah, because you could just know that it's there and skip it.
Yeah.
Skip it. Hey, he straight up says, watch that stair.
The third one. Oh, he does. Oh, shit. You're right.
Yeah. And, of course, keeping weird vats of dead bodies from the government for all these years is definitely stupid shit, I would say.
Yeah.
Don't be stupid.
And the trope would be that, of course, it breaks at that point in time where he hits it. He probably hit it like 20 times before and it would be okay. But this time, of course, when there's another dude there, of course, it's the time.
Got to have the movie somehow.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Something's got to incite that.
The dead things, the skeletons and everything dead has eyes. I just like.
Yep.
Yeah. You're just going to have eyes?
Eyes and the skeletons. No.
And they're beautiful eyes too. They're just like, they're pure white and pretty. They look. Where do they get
it? It makes them stand out more, which makes it even more unsettling.
Jeepers, creepers. Where'd you get those peepers? I really loved the one zombie directing cops to their death. Pause for a moment so that, you know, I'm not looking for brains. I'm literally just doing the job.
Yeah, well, he's bringing them in to get the brains.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
These ones were intelligent.
Yeah. I love that. It's definitely something different. I mean, some of them ran, others shuffled or shambled.
Yeah, I like the variety.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them look more disheveled than others. Some look like just a person with a little mud slapped on them.
Depends on how long ago they died.
Yeah. Don't burn the zombies. Not on a rainy night, at least, right?
Yeah, of course, well, it has to rain.
I think it rained because of all the chemicals getting released into the air. It wasn't just their ash. For some reason, it was also burning up the chemicals that was causing the reaction to the body to reanimate. That got left up into the sky and caused it to rain.
It was bad either way.
Yeah.
Just a bad.
Especially over a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have been worse.
I mean, I guess another stupid thing would be the owner of the medical place not wanting cops to show up until too late.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another one.
It's sure. Like
don't get the authorities involved because something bad could happen to us.
Yeah, it's our reputation could fail.
Yeah. Or we could unleash a zombie apocalypse and then have to have the whole town nuked. I mean, that's it's a better solution.
Yeah, it's cleaner, I think.
But they didn't know.
Didn't they?
Wait, do you hear that trope?
Oh yeah, constantly.
You hear that? What? Listen.
What was it? Number 12, Final Girl. Technically, no-ish. Kind of.
No, no one survives.
Nobody survives. But, like, technically, we have a girl who looks like she should be the final girl because she's all, like, prim and proper. But once again, we re-ask the question, how the hell was she hanging out with those people?
Yeah.
This is all I want to ask.
I'm just going to say, technically, the final girl is Ethel. She survives.
Wait, who's Ethel?
The wife of the government dude, the military dude's wife.
Well, the military dude survived as well.
He's not a girl.
True.
She's also not really integral to the story. So
I don't know. She was very important, making him his dinner that he already ate that for lunch.
Oh, she's just like, what's for dinner? Lamb chops. Oh, I had that for lunch. Who the hell has lamb chops for lunch? I'm guessing that's the joke. But
they're his favorite. Yeah.
But it's your favorite. Yeah. No. If anything, no. It would have been the other guy's wife who was keeping dinner warm for him for an hour.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he never came home.
Yeah. Poor
Frank.
Poor lady. I'm sure she's dead too, actually, now that I think about it, because he probably lived close to the thing. More people dead.
There was the zombie that was still alive at the end.
The same one from before.
Yeah, the exact same shot.
Oh, that's the new cemetery. It's the same exact shot, but new cemetery. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you forget to say with the montage point that they basically montage the entire movie at the credits.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
You know, in case you missed the movie, here's the movie.
Here's a recap. Like,
we know you just spent an hour and a half watching this. Yeah, that was what I remembered. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll tell you. No, these are just clips from the movie that I just watched for some reason. Sure.
Oh, man.
Had that runtime.
In case you missed it.
Oh, I will say for the purposes of Dreadly, the part of Bert was originally offered to Leslie Nielsen. You should know that.
Aww.
That would have been an interesting movie.
I think he wanted too much money.
Yeah. Too much.
Not too much, just more than they could afford.
Well, I guess that's true. That's another way of looking at it. But I want to, you know, I'll take this moment since I was talking about a person in the movie, or that could have been in the movie, but to point out something that I love very much, and that is that Clue, he also co-starred in the 1985 film A Nightmare on Elm Street 2 as Mark Patton's father, and that's awesome. You know, I love seeing other horror people. As well as Tom Matthews starring in Friday the 13th Part 6 as Tommy Jarvis. Mm-hmm. And Miguel Nunez in Friday the 13th Part 5, which we know him as Demon.
Yep.
Play it.
Ah, Jesus, wait.
Ooh, baby.
There you go.
Thank you. And something I learned today that I especially wanted to tell you, Dreadly, because this is amazing. But Mark Venturini, who played Vic in Friday the 13th Part 5, is also in this movie. And I did not realize that until I was looking at the, whatchamacallit, the names and stuff. He plays Vic, you know, the one that kills, oops, spoiler. You know, the one that, oh my God.
I know.
He doesn't want the chopping bar.
I remember a name.
Well, he's chopping wood. Yay! Yeah, so that's amazing. I'm very, very happy with that. And obviously, Linnea quickly, being a scream queen, she's in countless horror movies that I could list, but I'm not going to because it's too many. But like,
also, I don't forget the famous duo.
Just love that stuff.
Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street.
Linnea Quigley, not the first choice to play trash in this movie.
Also Leslie Nielsen?
Yes.
No. Actually, the first choice was Jewel Shepherd, who played Casey.
Hmm.
Because she worked at a private strip club that Dan O'Bannon went to. And he offered her the role, and she didn't want to do it. She didn't want to get naked. Yeah. She's like, I get naked all the time for people. I don't want to do it in a movie. Or she had done topless or something. I don't remember what it was, but they end up casting her anyway, just not as trash.
It makes sense.
Which you gotta love these like punk rock names: Suicide, Trash, Scuzz, Chuck.
Scuzz.
Freddy.
Chuck's a regular name. Freddy Krueger. Going back, number 13. The Savini scale of gore. It's not the quantity of gore, it's the quality of gore, special effects, and monsters. So how many
brains
out of 10 do we give this?
11.
Yeah, like Tarman alone is an 8. Right? Like, just, you could have nothing else in this movie but Tarman, and you're at an 8 already. And you got that freaking torso puppet that zombie lady. That thing was awesome. It was such a good puppet. And again, the eyeballs and the creepy factor of that. And I know I made the joke of like some of the zombies were just a person in some kind of slightly shredded clothes, a little mud slapped on them. But like, there was a lot of really good zombies in there. The effects of them biting heads was, boy, it was a lot. They, like I say, for a $4 million movie, this looks amazing. It shouldn't look as good as it does. They put a lot of effort into a lot of it. So yeah, it's hard for me to go to a 10 because I don't think we've given anything that high of a score.
See, but, this is the thing that happened is I thought to myself, I'm like, I'm going to give it a 9. Because I feel like I shouldn't give it a 10. I should leave room for the 10, whatever the 10 is eventually, right? That's the thought that I had in my mind.
But this really deserves it.
I mean, I'm going to go 9.5. 9.5 for me.
Weeks?
Yes.
Well, you would hope if we give it 10 that it would be a Savini movie. Because, you know? But yeah.
I mean,
I'll
we watched The
9.
Burning. What did we give that?
Yeah.
Maybe we did give that a 10. No, I don't think we gave it a 10. But we gave it a high score. Did you say your number?
9.
Okay. Well, then say it.
I did!
Oh, I thought you were telling me no.
So we have a 9, a 9.5, and an 11. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so I have to go. I forgot you said 11, Faye. It's out of 10, though. You can't give it an 11.
There are no rules here.
I'm giving it a 10. Whatever. Everything else has to measure up to this from now on. So with Faye's number, it averages out to a perfect 10 score.
There you go.
And that's... That'll wrap up the 13 for this episode. Wow. Any other things you guys, any cool fun facts, quotes, favorite
brains.
Characters?
Brains! More brains!
What was the best kill?
I mean, I kind of want to go with Tarman biting Suicide just because.
Yeah.
He just lunges at him, grabs, and just like chomps off the top of his skull. Opens him up like a freaking can of beans.
I'm in.
I agree.
One. Like, his head is so flimsy in the end, but he sure has some strong choppers.
Yeah.
Body count. Did we get body count?
Everyone?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The entire town. Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay. Well, there you go. Entire town. There you go. And now we'll play What the Hell Was That? It's where we play a clip from our next movie provided by our clip curator, Dreadly. Play the clip, Dreadly.
No.
No. What do you mean, no? You don't have a clip?
No.
Well.
Because people will already know.
Will they? Are we letting them vote on the movie again?
Yeah, they did so bad last time that we're giving them another chance.
Well, yes, so you were able to vote on the movie, so you already know what it is, but in case you didn't get to vote on it and have not been on Twitter or wherever else, I'm going to do this vote so that Rev can vote as well. And so the next movie that Gore will cover is 1981's The Evil Dead. Thank you, everyone, for voting. And we will absolutely have more chances in the future for you, the listener, to vote on what we do. So yeah, you should still follow us on Twitter. That's at Gore Podcast. Even though we're not having a guessing game this week. But we're fun, mostly. Well, you'll find out when stuff's coming out. We didn't get any emails this week. So if you'd like to send us an email, you can email the show at gorepodcast13@gmail.com. You fucker. We have a Patreon, which the zombies have warned you about. And you can sign up for that at patreon.com/gore13. We have a website. It's still created by Bumby, Bumbats, and maintained by Dreadly, I think. So check us out, gorepodcast.com. You can get all sorts of our information and stuff. And if you'd like to support us in some non-monetary ways, feel free to leave a 5-star review on whatever podcast thingy app that you have. I mean, you can leave any number of stars, but 5, I think, is the most. And if it's the most, then do it. But until next episode, Travis, where can people find you?
On any of the social media platforms, at TV's Travis or TV'sTravis.com.
And Faye, where can people find you?
On Twitter at Chibi Phelan.
And finally, Dreadly, tell people how they can travel to the bowels of hell to find you.
I'll just head on over to thedreadzone.com and you'll find all my linkages.
Linkage.
And where can people find you, kitten of wickedness?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter and Twitch at WickedKitten13. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I hope we made it a little harder to fall asleep tonight.